Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trundy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trundy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trundy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, BBM Bubba Brip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls from that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from. And to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country, as Welcome Black, National Talk Black, have your say and yarn up strong. All right, I'm going to jump straight into it. We're talking about First Nations Clean Energy Network, who are thrilled to announce that the preliminary program for the First Nations Clean Energy Symposium is now live. And with that, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Chris Croker. He's the co-chair of the First Nations Clean Energy Network. And we have Chris on the line. Chris, good morning. How are you?
Hi, how are you going?
Yeah, I'm good. Can you hear me okay, Chris?
Yeah, I can hear you, yeah.
Yeah, thank you very much for coming to the program. So where are you based, Chris? Where are you?
I'm living down in Melbourne at the moment.
Okay, fantastic. So, look, great news, up and coming First Nation Clean Energy Symposium, live.
It is. It should be a great event, you know, bringing all of our countrymen and women around the country to come and talk about renewable energy. It'd be great.
So fantastic. So tell us where we're at and in regard to the platform that we're talking about here, First Nation being, well, at the table in regard to Clean Energy Network, which is the way of the future, yeah?
It is, definitely, yeah. So and we've been talking about, you know, our rights when it comes to clean energy for quite a few years now. It just builds on, you know, our role in looking after country and, you know, self-determination for our mob. And then in the recent year, there's been a lot of interest in, you know, basically using clean energy, solar and wind, and a bit of hydro thrown in there as well, to, you know, start addressing some of the concerns when it comes to climate change.
Yes.
You know, reducing pollution, making sure our homes have more reliable electricity and better energy efficiency. So, you know, it's cheaper for mum and dad, nan and pop to, you know, keep the air conditioning going and heating during winter sometimes. The Clean Energy Network, you know, we've been up and running for a couple of years now, and we've been really pushing strong for change across industry.
Yes.
And also change at the policy level with both states and federal government. We've been talking a lot, yarning up, asking for more in our, you know, our role, our seat at the table. But now it's time for action.
Well, exactly. And look, we're talking about First Nation people looking after country. I mean, it goes hand in glove, doesn't it?
It does, definitely, yeah. You may have heard me talk before about my personal story. My family's from the Central Desert, out west of Alice Springs.
Yes.
And, you know, our family live on country there, you know, manage it, you know, culturally. We've been running our own solar system there for about 30 years. So by embracing the future, it allowed, you know, families to stay on country, make sure that we perform our cultural obligations to care for country, and also, you know, it's a pretty good life for us. So, we should see that opportunity for many more families around the country.
Are we talking about, like, job opportunities or business opportunities for our people?
Brother, you know, if we can get a say and get our rightful place at the table when it comes to this new industry, and it's really growing very quickly, which we may see, you know, there's wind farms, you know, springing up and solar farms springing up every other day, as well as across the country, there's over 3.5 million houses.
Yes.
With rooftop solar.
Yes.
Most of those aren't Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander houses, though, which is a pity. By my estimations, and with the network, you know, we're talking about potentially if we can have a rightful say in this industry, we should actually be getting, you know, between 50, 60, 70,000 Aboriginal Torres Strait Islanders employed as new job opportunities right across the country, you know, not just in particular regions, but actually in our towns, remote cities, you know, even out on the homeland communities of the islands. So it's a great great job opportunity for us. But more importantly for us, you know, potentially if we can get our role, you know, at that seat of the table, demanding, you know, a rightful share of the benefits, potentially, you know, really strong business opportunities and, you know, employment, wealth creation for our mob across the country as well.
Yeah, no, fantastic. So it's a very productive space, and it can create a good vision for our mob moving into the future. And when we're talking about looking after the country, well, you can't beat First Nations looking after the country and setting up opportunities. But thank you for sharing, Chris, and look, all the best. Please do keep in touch. And symposium is now live. How do people see all that?
Yeah, definitely. So we're holding out the two-day symposium in Adelaide in just over a month's time, on the Tuesday, the 7th and the 8th of May. The registration's open, and there's supported registrations as well for community around the country. So if you just go to our website, firstnationscleanenergy.org.au, down the bottom of the page is a registration link, and you'll see a bit of story come up there, like an article. Click on there, go and register. Also, there's a phone number on the page as well. So if
any queries
that don't have good access to internet, please call the phone number and we can help you register. We've got supported travel to bring mob from around the country. It'll be I'm expecting it'll be a huge turnout. You know, from Torres Strait Islander mob down to friends and family down in Victoria here across the WA. We'll be all meeting up in Adelaide.
Beautiful.
Please check it out. If you're really keen and interested to know more, just click that link or just give us a call on the telephone.
Fantastic. Chris, thank you very much. All the best and we'll yarn soon, brother.
Yeah, thanks. Talk soon. Hope everyone's having a great day.
Okay, bye-bye. There is Dilly Yarn there. That's Chris Croker. His name is co-chair of the First Nation Clean Energy Network, up-and-coming First Nation Clean Energy Symposium. So it is live, so do check it out. In other words, the social events are also Tuesday, 7 May. That's from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And that's in Stanford Grand Adelaide Hotel Ballroom. And also Symposium Sorry on Wednesday, 8th of May, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Moseley Restaurant Terrace. So there it is. Thank you very much. Stay tuned, you mob, to your daily program, National Talk Black, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416.
Open up my heart to relieve the pressure, building on my chest. Once an invitation for you to unload your stress. Life without meaning, a vessel without a soul. Euphoria's finally achieved when we all just lose control. So take it easy, and take it easy. Here we go right now. I can't believe my life, 'cause it's heading in the wrong direction. And how many brothers out there getting lost in an intersection? I can't believe my woman just left me all alone. And even though I got four walls, this house doesn't really feel like home. She said you better not call if you don't got nothing to say. Been staring at a wall with my thoughts in silence. Just wait on my mind. Get it off with a little bit of rum and a coffee mug. Just a little bit of rum in the coffee mug. We all want freedom deep in our souls. Should've got my stuff together many, many moons ago.
your mind and finally run free. Embrace your life and love and live in peace. Mother Earth's so fragile, you gotta take care of her. And we all just people, people that share this earth. In a blink of an eye, it could be gone. We all socially connected, artificially creating bonds. Future for the children needs more than likes and shares. Pretend you're not listening and make it out like you don't care. She said you better not call if you don't got nothing to say. Been staring at a wall with my thoughts in silence. Just wait on my mind, wait on my mind. Get it off with a little bit of rum and a coffee mug. Just a little bit.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Mm-hmm.
by the fresh water. I come from the land down under, all over my Australia. Go Maritia Wanga Lily. You better run, you better take a ride. From the land down under, all over both my Australia. Go Marikia Wanga Lili, walk back for a long time, living under one sun. I come from the land down under, all over my Australia. Go Marikia Wanga Lili, walk back for a wonder, living under one sun. We come from the land down under. Can you see, can you feel the wonder? Bookmark Malawangan, living under one sun.
Yeah, down under the sun, that's King Stingray here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you say Yana Strong, daily number here, 1-800-422-416. Yana with the Bully Run, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bummer Brip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Yarn Up Strong, your mob. Let's look at the news, what's headlines today, BBC News. Indigenous deaths in custody haunt Australia, by Hannah Ritchie, BBC News, Sydney. It's a pain you can't describe, Raylene Nixon says quietly. It's something that you feel deeper than a broken heart. It's pain in your soul. In 2021, she sat in the sterile room and watched Australian police footage of her son's death in real time as it gasped for air and pleaded for help. Choke him out, one officer can be heard yelling the boy camera video before another places seven Nixon McCullough in a chokehold. Moments later, the 27-year-old Aboriginal man lost consciousness. Paramedics failed to resuscitate him as his throat was obstructed by vomit. Mr. Nixon McCullough is one of 562 Indigenous Australians to die in police custody since 1991, the year a landmark inquiry intended to turn the tide on the issue released hundreds of recommendations. A few of those proposals have been implemented. Studies suggest and Indigenous people continue to die at alarming rates in prison cells, police vans or during arrest. Last year was the most lethal on record, according to the government data. Police advocates insist officers are using necessary force when confronted with life-threatening situations and that each death is thoroughly examined. But critics say there is a culture of impunity in which police are investigating police in cases allegedly excessive force. They point out there has never been a conviction of a police or corrections officer over an Indigenous death in their care. We're sending a message to society about what is and isn't acceptable behaviour, criminologist Amanda Porter says. And in Australia at the moment, it's open season. They only knew the colour of his skin. Mr. Nixon McCullough died during the attempted arrest following an anonymous call to Queensland police suggested he had been driving a stolen vehicle. The officers involved have defended their use of the neck hole, which is now banned, on basis that he was fighting them at the scene, making it difficult to deploy a taser or pepper spray. But Ms. Nixon questioned whether they might have acted differently, that her son been white. The only thing they knew about him was the colour of his skin, she tells the BBC. The findings from a coroner's inquiry into his death will soon be made public. His case bears similarities to the death of David Dungray Jr. inside a Sydney prison in 2015, a nationally famous incident which has been compared to George Floyd's death in US. Like Mr. Floyd, Mr. Dungy, who also yelled, "I can't breathe," in his final moments. The diabetic, the 26-year-old, had been trying to eat a packet of biscuits when six guards entered his cells with a riot shield to restrain him. Five of them pinned him face down on a bed, sedated him. "You're the one who brought this on yourself, Dungay," one officer can be heard saying on footage in the incident. "If you're talking you can't breathe," another adds. Corrective Services New South Wales has maintained that the death was not suspicious, and internal investigation found no criminal negligence. A coroner did find that agitation as a result of the use of force was contributed factor, along with Mr. Dungay's pre-existing health conditions, but declined to send the case to prosecutors. Mr. Dungay's family has run a years-long campaign calling for charges to be laid against the officers involved. It led to a petition with over 110,000 signatures being sent to the New South Wales Office of the Director of Public Prosecutions. The officer did not respond to the BBC's request for comments. The overrepresentation of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in Australian criminal justice system is a key driver of Indigenous death in custody. And look, that's where it's sad that it is, but it's very sad when we're talking about 560-odd deaths, black deaths in custody. That in itself is a pandemic. Look, if you want to add to the conversation, please do so. Call this number, 1-800-422-416. Yeah, Yandi with Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. BBM, Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation, thanks to NIRS, National News Radio Service.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah, beautiful track there. Island Song, Bub Thomas, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you say yarn up strong. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Call that number, yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. Coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, BBM Bummerbrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Yarn up strong, your mob. Now, advocates urge more funding for urban and regional Aboriginal housing. Indigenous groups have welcomed funding for remote housing, but have called on the federal government to recognise the housing needs of Aboriginal people in regional and urban areas as well. In March, the federal and Northern Territory governments announced a joint $4 billion investment for housing remote communities across the territory to help close the gap in housing outcomes. The partnership also includes Aboriginal Housing NT, AHNT, and the Aboriginal Land Councils from the NT to help deliver the imperative housing. Look, we're going to catch up a yarn with Darren Smith, Aboriginal Housing and Homeless Forum Chair, and also Aboriginal Housing Victoria Chief Executive Officer, and do have Darren online. Darren, good morning. How are you? You there, Darren? Hello, Darren. Darren, you there? Got you, Darren? Nope. No, Darren. We'll get Darren back. Had him on the line, and we'll have that conversation. Be looking at the data here across, on Tuesday, Aboriginal Housing Homeless Forum and Aboriginal Housing Victoria said the funding meant the government was on the right path, noting the housing and homeless outcomes for Indigenous Territorians was unacceptable. And data from the 2021 look, I think we do have Darren on the line. Let me just check if we got him here. Darren, there, good morning.
Hello.
Darren, how are you?
Yeah, good.
Yeah, good. Trevor here. Can you hear me okay?
I can, yeah.
Good. Where are you based, Darren?
I'm based down in Melbourne.
Melbourne, Victoria. Okay, thank you. Who you mob and where you from, brother?
I'm Palawa from Tassie. Okay. I've been living down here in Wurundjeri country for most of my life.
Okay, beautiful. So look, fantastic. We're talking about $4 billion investment for housing in remote communities across the territory, but advocates urge more funding for urban and regional Aboriginal housing as well, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, there's no denying that there's a need for more housing and good quality housing for Aboriginal people up in the NT, but it's the same right across Australia, all states and territories. We've all got the same issue that we don't have enough housing.
And we're talking about necessity of life, aren't we, Darren?
Yeah, absolutely. Housing's pretty fundamental to everything, isn't it?
It is.
Your kids can't get to school. They don't have a stable, safe and secure housing. You can't deal with your mental health issues if you haven't got a good home base, and you can't thrive and get out and get a job and make the best of your life if you don't have that housing base.
Well, we are talking about the 21st century, Darren, and when we're talking about a first world country, some of our people are living in third world standards.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's more visible in remote communities, but, you know, people in regional and urban communities are experiencing, you know, some pretty poor standards of housing as well. And just because there's a functioning market doesn't mean Aboriginal people get access to it and get the kind of quality of housing that they need.
And we talk an overload of two, three families living in one house. You know what I mean? That in itself just shows that housing is very important and there's lack of.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's a little bit more hidden in urban and regional communities, that overcrowding. But, you know, we know it happens. And
exactly.
I'm a little bit suspicious about how they record it, to be honest.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah. Well, they go and do the census, don't they, every now and again, you know, and they count and people and have all the questions on the so-called survey for the information. That's itself is the true information, or are they taking on the true information? Is the question, as you said, it gets you looking at it sideways, so to speak, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And so with the announcement of the joint $4 billion, you know, fantastic, but we are talking remote, aren't we, in that sense?
Yeah, it's remote communities in the Northern Territory. So, you know, from everything that we hear, there's a huge need up in the Northern Territory.
Mm.
So you know, really welcome the investments up there for the mob.
Sure. With that, is there opportunities for work or business opportunities, procurement for black people?
Look, I think I don't know the details of the proposal and how it's going to be delivered.
Okay.
The question's probably best directed to the CEO of the Aboriginal Housing NT, Sky Thompson. He'll be able to talk to you about that. But I'd be surprised if there's not those kind of job opportunities. And
sure.
It's one of the things that kind of didn't work, you know, back with the first round of the National Remote Indigenous Housing Agreement, the NAPARI. You would have expected that there'd be ongoing jobs that went
with
that investment.
And creating so-called trades, you know, like apprenticeships and what have you, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
When does the work start for the housing, do you know?
Oh, well, I'd say they've already got a plan and they're ready to go with it. There's a whole lot of things happening in housing nationally with Housing Australia's Future Fund and the work on the national the National Housing and Homelessness Plan as well, led by the Commonwealth.
Okay.
And with the National Housing and Homelessness Agreement being renegotiated as of July this year. So there's a whole lot of things that are happening under the surface around housing. But I imagine that they'll be ready to go next financial year.
Sure. And are we talking, talking brand new homes being built, are we also talking renovation of existing homes?
I think they've got some programs in there for renovating existing homes.
Yep.
But again, I'm kind of in the position that I don't know the details of it because not being in the Northern Territory.
Sure.
But I would have assumed it's mostly new housing that they're looking at.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, $4 billion is a lot of money, but it's for good reasons, good cause, and it's not an expense. It is investment, isn't it, Darren?
It absolutely is, and it's, like you're saying, it's pretty foundational,
exactly.
Housing investments.
Yeah. Darren, good yarning with you. Thank you for the yarn, my friend. And, look, we'll talk soon, and all the best, and big shout out to the mob there and Vic.
No worries. Thanks.
Take care, mate. Bye-bye. See you, brother. There it is, Darren Smith, and he's the Aboriginal Housing and Homeless Forum chairperson, AHF, but also Aboriginal Housing Victoria, chief executive, AHV, and talking about the funding of announcement that's a joint $4 billion investment in housing remote and community across the territory, but they're also advocating urge more funding for urban and regional Aboriginal housing as well. So there it is. Have you saying yarn up strong? And to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Forest, yeah, eating only wild berries and fruit.
Hey, why?
When we could walk about in our rainforest, yeah. When we could walk about, then people talk about. Ngara jine no wangara jine na baroji jine na pelkoro jine. Ngara jine no wangara. From Jabba Guy, him and the Yabba Wawa,
Squawking, hey, why?
They are the protectors of these rainforests of North Queensland, yeah. And when they go walk about, then people talk about. Garage in a no one, garage in a Navarro, in
Bandara by Jadaway, and Jadaway, big shout out Jadaway, who have been nominated at Queensland Music Awards. To Delhi represents, and this is your Delhi program, National Talk Black. Have you saying yarn up strong? Delhi number here, 1-800-422-416. Yeah, yarn with the ball on here. Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, BBM Bumper Brip Media, 98.7 FM, and across the nation thanks to NERS National Radio Service. All right, looking at other news here, Business News Australia, Indigenous businesses secure more than $1 billion in contracts via IBA bonds. And in a milestone of achievement of for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander entrepreneurs, more than $1 billion in contracts for First Nation businesses have been supported through Indigenous Business Australia, IBA, Performance Bond Trust. The bonds were initially introduced by IBA 6 years ago, with the agency now supporting more than 500 performance bonds valued at almost $60 million, while the contracts were valued at $1 billion plus. A performance bond is issued to one party of a contract as security against the failure of the other party to meet the obligations specified in the contract. Banks often require 100% cash deposit as secure for the bond, which ties up in considerable amounts of working capital. When the Performance Bond Trust was established, IBA co-investors, $10 billion in the facility, along with the National Indigenous Australian Agency, NIAA, matching a further $10 million. IBA's Performance Bond Trust has assisted First Nation contractors across the country to participate in a wide variety of contracts, including mining, civil works, construction, faculty upgrades, and renewable energy construction by guaranteed their capacity to complete projects while requiring minimal security, IBA CEO Christy Moore said. We're extremely proud of the milestone figure. It ultimately contributes to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander businesses' growth, which is a positive for everyone. Originally known as the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Commercial Development Corporation, IBA assists the Indigenous Australians with buying their own homes, establishing businesses, and investing in commercial ventures to providing strong financial returns. Today's news comes 4 months after IBA banking giant NAB signed a memorandum of understanding, a MOU, to collaborate the development of an Indigenous business guarantee. The guarantee will enable IBA and NBA to support more Indigenous business customers to access capital through access to NAB's specialist banking and commercial lending solutions. The bond partnership that took IBA's total contract value to more than $1 billion was through Mine Power Solutions, an SA-based construction, mining and electrical contractor, which has been successful in winning contractors at the Olympic Dam. And look, it's fantastic. High tide rise all ships, seeing First Nation people survive and grow businesses. I just said entrepreneurs, just happen to be black. Fantastic. Great opportunity. And all you mob out there, getting in business, do what you need to do. Enjoy the journey and become the best that you can be. Too deadly. Have you say Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
And I remember the day.
Roll my toy, but only my toy, but roll my toy, but roll my toy, but only my toy, but roll my toy, but.